Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Just past midnight, John Taylor was executed by a firing squad in Utah for the rape murder of an 11-year-old girl. Reporter Amy Joy Bryson was a witness.
It was a clean, quick death that was over like that. His victim certainly didn't have that.
Correspondent John Blackstone has more.
In the execution chamber at the Utah State Prison, the warden held a tape recorder as John Albert Taylor spoke his final words.
I'd just like to say for my family, for my friends, as the poem was written, remember me, but let me go.
Taylor raped and murdered 11-year-old Sharla King. Her uncle, Elliot King, witnessed his execution.
He looked a little frightened, but he didn't still show me any remorse.
Then a hood was placed over Taylor's head and five marksmen took aim at his heart. Paul Murphy was a media witness.
You heard one, two, three, and a very loud boom. And his chest heaved up.
For reporter Craig Wall, a media witness, it was a difficult experience.
I felt the pain in my chest, right in my heart, as I was walking back to the room.
Utah law allows the condemned to choose between firing squad or lethal injection. Some believe Taylor will be the last person given that choice. John Blackstone, CBS News, Draper, Utah.
This morning, the mother of Taylor's victim, Sharon King, sounded relieved.
I don't think there's a score or even anymore in this. I think what it does is it helps that nobody else will have to die at his hands.
President Clinton is spending time this morning with his wife Hillary as she prepares to go before a Whitewater grand jury in about 4 hours. Correspondent Barry Bagnato has more.
Mrs. Clinton is no stranger to the independent counsel's probe, but until now she has been allowed to testify from the comfort of the White House. No First Lady has ever appeared before a grand jury.
It's an entirely different forum. It's a little more intimidating, and I think it was probably intended to be that way.
Former federal prosecutor Joseph DeGeneva.
She will be in the grand jury alone. She will not be in there with her lawyer. Her lawyer is outside. He is not permitted inside the grand jury room by law.
She'll be asked about Roe's law firm billing records, which suddenly appeared in a limited access White House room months after investigators first sought them. Lawrence Barcella, also an ex-prosecutor, believes her appearance is perfectly proper.
The circumstances that have surrounded the recent discovery of the records raise a lot of questions that certainly any prosecutor would want explained.
The First Lady denies knowing about the discovered documents. Recent polls show most Americans believe she's not telling the whole truth. Her approval ratings are tumbling, says CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic.
Up to now, the trials and travails of the First Lady are not taking a toll on the president.
But the longer the First Lady is connected to the Whitewater probe, the greater the election year threat to her husband. And it's possible this first grand jury appearance may not be her last. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Congress moves today to avert another government shutdown. Correspondent Rob Armstrong has details.
The Senate is expected to follow the House later today and send a stopgap spending bill to President Clinton for his signature. The Republicans are calling it a down payment on a balanced budget. The measure fully funds five cabinet departments and partially funds four others. It terminates 18 programs. And House Appropriations Chairman Bob Livingston of Louisiana concedes it may be bad news for some government workers.
We are reducing many agencies and departments by at least 25% of their funding. And unless we begin to allow the administration to start to lay off people or furlough them, any savings that we might have received by virtue of the cuts become moot.
In addition, the measure restricts travel by cabinet-level officials except the Secretaries of Defense and State, the CIA Director, and the UN Ambassador. It increases Pell Grants by $100 per person, and it allows the sale of 7 million gallons of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserves. While nobody likes everything in it, one Democrat said privately that it does mark the most bipartisan congressional action in months. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
O.J. Simpson returns for a fifth day of questions in the wrongful death lawsuit by the Brown and Goldman families. Correspondent David Dow is covering.
The grilling of O.J. Simpson has turned to domestic abuse, and his interrogators, the attorneys for the plaintiffs in the wrongful death suits against him, are pleased with the results. Michael Brewer, representing the mother of murder victim Ronald Goldman, says Simpson has been quizzed extensively about the two well-known incidents that prompted 911 calls to police by Simpson's murdered ex-wife, Nicole.
I think that the way in which the evidence was developed and the manner in which Mr. Simpson testified relative to those issues, in my view, strengthen the plaintiff's case.
Brewer says the domestic violence evidence is likely to play an important role in the civil case, even though it failed to impress some of the jurors who acquitted Simpson in last year's criminal trial. This will be day 5 of Simpson's deposition, which is expected to continue well into next week. David Dell, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Former Brown & Williamson executive Jeffrey Wigand has testified that his ex-boss lied when he told Congress nicotine is not addictive. In a sealed deposition obtained by the Wall Street Journal, Wigand says former B&W chairman Thomas Sandifer often referred to the addictive nature of cigarettes. Price of gold soared to $407.40 an ounce. As business correspondent Ray Brady reports, the rush to buy reflects jitters about the U.S. budget battle.
In the gold pits, they were screaming and yelling to buy, buy, buy gold, sending the price of the metal to its highest level in 2.5 years. Veteran gold trader George Giro tells what the shouting's all about.
People are buying gold because they have fears.
Fear caused by worries that miscues in Washington might still throw the nation into default, unable to pay interest on its notes, bonds, and bills. Prices in the bond market dropped so sharply, Merrill Lynch estimates investors lost $9.5 billion. A default would not only send interest rates up, in the eyes of the world, Uncle Sam would become a global deadbeat. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
Business Week magazine says it's alerted the SEC to suspicious trading in 11 stocks mentioned in its Inside Wall Street column. The magazine says the trading activity occurred before the public had access to the column, so the possibility arises that someone at McGraw-Hill leaked it. Poland's Prime Minister Joseph Oleksii, accused of spying for Moscow for 13 years, formally resigned today. He acted after the Warsaw military prosecutor opened an investigation into spying allegations. An Israeli cabinet minister has accused Syria of foot-dragging in talks outside Washington and expressed doubt a peace agreement could be reached this year. Yossi Belin, a minister in Prime Minister Shimon Peres's office, says if they truly want peace, why are they so slow? The Philippines have confirmed that a naval patrol boat engaged in a heavy 90-minute gun battle this week with two foreign vessels that intruded into its waters. At first, there were signs the ships involved were from the Chinese Navy. Now, Manila's defense secretary says they were pirate ships that prey on commerce between China and Subic Bay. A military spokesman attributes the confusion to the fog of battle.
There was always a possibility that in the excitement, they were not able to really pinpoint the nationality of whatever flag was being flown.
Overseas today, the dollar is mixed, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead 4.70 at 5222.53. It's 10 past the hour.